Welcome to the February edition of Our World. My name is Mike Kuplowski. Our main focus tonight will be on pollution. Later on, we will be speaking about pollution from oil spills, which have recently been in the news. But first, we're going to talk about a type of pollution which many people have not even heard of. Susan Conroy is the press liaison officer for the Canadian Darker Skies Association and is here tonight to talk to us about a problem that has been estimated to cost between a quarter and one-third of global energy output. Susan, those figures can't be correct, can they?
Many independent organizations have costed this phenomenon of light pollution, and the figures usually come out in that area, somewhere between 25 and 35% of total energy costs are being completely wasted by wasteful or inefficient use of lighting, especially in the more urbanized areas of the richer countries of the world. Light pollution is one of the most pervasive forms of pollution in the modern world, and yet it is something that very few people know much about, even though, conversely, it is the form of pollution that people come into contact with most often on a daily basis.
Could you just give us a few ideas of what, in your mind, constitutes light pollution? I understand one of the most serious problems is that of light escaping up into the skies above our cities, with the resulting glare preventing us from seeing all the stars that were once visible.
That is what I would term a symptom of the problem, and not necessarily the most serious consequence. I would recommend your listeners, if they live in what is termed a built-up area, to go outside after listening to this great program, of course, and to look up into the sky. I would be surprised if any of them managed to see more than 5 to 10 stars. If they had done this 20 years ago, then they would be talking about hundreds and hundreds. This is a problem that is getting worse. The whole light pollution situation is deteriorating, which means we are wasting more and more money. If I may, I would like to give you just a couple of figures which illustrate this light pollution problem very well.
Of course, go ahead.
The International Dark Sky Association has estimated that here in the USA, $1.5 billion is spent every year generating electricity for light, which is then wasted. That's the equivalent of about 6 million tons of coal to produce that electricity, just wasted. The United States' reliance on imports of oil could be reduced in a matter of months if a few basic regulations were introduced and enforced.
What causes this light pollution, Susan? Is it just badly positioned streetlights that shine up into the sky?
Well, that is true. It is a major contributory factor in all of this. Light pollution is not only light that is shining up into the sky, which blocks out the stars we were just talking about. Light pollution is also when areas are overlit. For example, or lighting is badly designed or badly positioned, which then creates excessive glare. This can obviously be dangerous if drivers are affected.
I know so many people are worried about security, and I imagine this is why huge areas of our cities are, in your words, overlit.
Many studies have shown there is little connection between lighting and crime. Besides, much of the lighting which is badly designed creates very strong light and shadow contrasts, which, strangely enough, actually creates good hiding place for the very criminals we would like to be protected from.
So what changes would you like to see implemented, Susan?
There are some very basic things that can be changed. There needs to be a standard for street lighting, which eliminates completely above horizontal light escape. By that I mean, we can't continue to use inefficient street lighting equipment, which enables a lot of the light emitted to escape upwards into the sky. That is the first priority. Next, we need tough restrictions on how much light is used to illuminate a given area. That way, we avoid the problem of what is called light trespass, where light escapes from the area that it is supposed to illuminate and goes, for instance, into nearby windows or roads.
It's funny you should mention that. My brother lives near a parking lot, and he says at night he doesn't even need to switch on his kitchen light because the light from the parking lot lighting is so strong.
This is what we are saying. We don't have a problem with security lighting in any number of parking lots, stores, or even sports centers. But the lighting needs to be suitable and, above all, directed correctly. We are becoming a society obsessed with turning night into day. But I can tell you now, not everybody finds this situation satisfactory.
Susan, if we can now turn to what we as individuals can do to lessen the problem or at least not add to it. This is clearly something in which government and business have a very big contribution to make. But is there something we can do ourselves?
Well, first of all, I would recommend writing to your local representatives, as this is an issue which needs as much support as possible. Then there are things we can do in our own home. If you use lighting, be it security lighting or lighting for your barbecue in the garden, just make sure it is well directed, by which I mean angled downwards, and in that the light source itself, the bulb I mean, has a good cover on it. If you are using a security light, you want it to illuminate the area immediately in front of your house and not your neighbor's house or half the rest of the street. Doing this will not make your house safer. If you want to illuminate the front of your house for any reason, do it from above, with a light fixture attached to the gutter of your roof, for example, and not using a powerful spotlight placed on the lawn in front of your house. Most of the light in this setup will just go into the sky, and all of the amateur astronomers among you will continue to get frustrated as you search the sky for stars.
Well, I, for one, have learned a lot this evening, and you have given us a lot of food for thought the next time we look up into an increasingly orange sky at night. Susan Conroy, thanks for your time tonight.
You're welcome.